The title of the class basically is "What You See Is What You Are." That's the idea. And this is based on a teaching, a very, very famous teaching of the Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov, he lived in the early 1700s in Poland, Europe, Ukraine, and so on. And he was the founder of the Hasidic movement. So much could be said about what Hasidus is, Hasidism is, and so on. I think it's not the objective of the class. But what one thing I would like to say, Hasidism is not a new religion, is not a new flavor of Judaism. No, it gives, in Hebrew, chayus. Chayus means enthusiasm and a different perspective, not a flavor, like a perspective, to see exactly the same things, but in a different way. The perfect example for this is when you have a dark room. The room is full of things. There's a bed, there's a chair, there's a table. Okay, all kinds of things, regular things in a room. But since the room is dark, there's no light, so you don't know what it's over there. And whatever is over there, you just touch it, like, you know, like a blind person. You touch and you see and you try to figure out what's this. So what if you turn on the light? If you turn on the light, you're going to have exactly the same things. Nothing is going to change in the room. The bed is the bed and the table is the table and so on. But now you have a different perspective. Now you have a different way of dealing with this that you already had. So this is exactly what Hasidus is. The teachings of Hasidus are light that shines, so to speak, upon whatever we had before. The same Torah, the same Judaism, it's exactly the same, just with a new light. Now you can understand it and live it in a different way, with more enthusiasm. That's one idea of what the Baal Shem Tov brought, so to speak. But, interestingly, the Baal Shem Tov brought very short and powerful lines and ideas that throughout the different generations of Hasidic masters, following him and following his students and so on, they expanded on the ideas that the Baal Shem Tov himself taught and brought other lights, other ideas. To be honest, each one of us, each human being, literally, it's supposed to be to bring a new light into some part of the world, into some part of the Torah, into some part of understanding our mission, why we're here in Earth and so on, why God created us. That's expected by God from each one of us. Each one of us can be some kind of Baal Shem Tov, some kind of broader bringer, I don't know how to say it, of light into the world. Now, we're going to learn one teaching of the Baal Shem Tov, and we're going to question it. It sounds very nice, but you know what? I don't get it, and I don't like it. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to learn it, and then we're going to question it, and we're going to see, Be'ezras Hashem, God willing, one story in the Torah, in Parshas Noach. By the end of Parshas Noach, I'll tell you the story in a minute, and try to understand what was going on really over there. And we will see that in the light of the story of the, I'm sorry, of the teaching of the Baal Shem Tov, we're going to understand the story much better, in a very different way. Okay, so let's start. What's the teaching of the Baal Shem Tov? The Baal Shem Tov said that when you see another person and you see something bad, you don't really like something really bad, like objectively speaking, something bad on the other person, this is actually a reflection of your own evil. You're seeing yourself in a mirror, so to speak. Where you see bad things on others, it's because you have bad things inside of you. Like when a person sees himself in a mirror, like a regular person, whatever, mirror, if you are dirty, you're going to see a reflection in the reflection in the mirror, a dirty person, of course. And if you're clean, you're going to see a clean person in the mirror, unless the mirror is dirty, but whatever, let's suppose the mirror is clean. So this is what the Baal Shem Tov teaches. And it sounds interesting, like, okay, but still very difficult to understand. Why can't we say that somebody else is really bad, or to change it and say it in a better way, it's acting bad? Maybe it's not really bad, but it's acting really bad. The act that it's doing is really bad. And I'm not bad. I don't have that. Like you see somebody steal. Okay, I don't steal. You see somebody doing something wrong, whatever, against the will of God and so on. I don't do that. Baruch Hashem. You can be happy. I don't do that. The other guy didn't reach that level, whatever level that we're talking about. I reached that level. I don't do that. But I left that, whatever. Why can't you say that? What's the problem? In order to understand this, let's think about a little bit a story in the Torah. Again, the end of Parshas Noach. Parshas Noach, we know that there's the flood and Bnei Noach, the children of Noach. Okay, very nice. Noach and Noach. But there's one story over there, quite short. It's really puzzling and really hard, a difficult story. And our sages explain what actually happened in that story, which is nothing nice. Whatever, this is what our sages say, so I can repeat what they say. Noach, after leaving the ark, after the flood, leaving the ark, he planted a vineyard. And our sages say, where did he get the vineyard from? Like all the plants were dead, and the flood, and so on. So he actually brought the vineyard before going into the ark. He brought the vineyard inside the ark, and it lived for 1 year in the ark. And then when he went out, and he planted this vineyard. And the vineyard, of course, produced grapes. That's what it does. So we can understand that some time happened. It's not exactly immediately after the flood, because until the plant grows and the grows roots and the grapes, etc. and so on. And he produced wine with the grapes and he got drunk. That's what he did. He got drunk. And he was basically lying in his tent over there drunk. And one of his children, there's an argument between our sages, children, one of his childs, Ham, or a grandchild, Knan, whatever the case is, doesn't really matter right now. One of his children, there are two versions of what happened over there. One version says what the child raped his father. And the other version says he made him barren, impossible to have more children. Whatever. I hope you understand what I'm talking about. And he left his father over there in the tent. Anyway, he's drunk. So he's lying over there in the tent, completely disgraced. Whatever happened, any case, it's terrible. He was over there lying in his tent. And he went out of the tent and he told his two brothers, Shem and Yafes. Hey, did you see Tati? Did you see father? He's over there in the tent. Very funny. So the two brothers realized something happened over here, and it doesn't sound so nice. We know our brother, Ham, and the word Ham comes from, in Hebrew, Hamimus, heat. He was really a very tough guy, with a lot of heat for the world or for passions and so on. That's why he did whatever he did. The two options are not so nice. So whatever he did was wrong, and the Torah says, literally, the Torah says that Shem and Yafes, these two children of Noach, they entered the tent with a blanket to cover the father. We can't fix anything over here. Like, I'm sorry, there's nothing to fix. But at least father over there, Noach, is disgraced. So let's cover him. At least let's cover him. So the Torah says they walked backwards, you know, like backward walking with a blanket. Imagine two guys holding a blanket and they walking backwards. And the Torah says, Ufaneyem in Hebrew, Faneyem Achoironis. They were looking to the other side. Like, suppose Noach was over there. So they were walking backwards and looking to the other side. We don't want to see this. Like, we have to do something, but we don't want to see this. And they covered Noach. And the Torah makes a point of saying, it's written in the text, you can look it up, in the end of Parshas Noach, after the flood, the Torah says they did not see the nakedness of Noach. Whatever that means, he was lying over there. They didn't see the nakedness of Noach. Erva Savim Loiro in Hebrew. And this is the story, basically. And the Torah continues, and then Noach curses his son, his grandson, and gives blessings to Shem and Yafes. Again, the Torah continues with other stories. This is the story. The question on the story is, we know every single letter in the Torah, every single word, every single expression is perfect. There's nothing that is because, whatever, somebody wrote it. No. Every single letter is perfect, to the point that Rabbi Akiva used to say, our sages bring his words, he used to say, interpret and understand tilim tilim alochis, mountains and mountains of laws, just of a crown of a letter. I don't know if you ever saw how to write the letters in the Sefer Torah, in the book, in the parchment of Torah and so on. They have like crowns, little crowns. Not all the letters. Some letters have one crown. Some letters have three crowns, whatever. But they don't really mean the letter. Like the letter is a letter even without the crown. But the tradition is that certain letters have crowns. And Rabbi Akiva used to understand mountains and mountains of laws just out of a crown of a letter. So you can imagine if from a crown you learn mountains and mountains and mountains, tilim tilim, mountains and mountains, from a letter more so, from a word, from a phrase, oy vismir. So many laws, infinite amount of laws out of each letter in the Torah. And over here, in the story of Noach, we have a whole expression, completely useless. The expression is, they did not see the nakedness of his father, of their father. Again, they were walking backwards. Point number one. The Torah says they were walking backwards. They were looking to the other side. So of course, they didn't see. And the Torah says, then they didn't see. What do you need this phrase for? In order to understand all of this, we have to understand again. Let's look at the Baal Shem Tov's teaching and let's try to delve a little bit deeper into it. Baal Shem Tov said, again, you look at a person, you're looking at a mirror of yourself, you're looking at yourself, and if you see bad things on the person, you have bad things like a dirty face reflecting in a mirror. And the question is, why? Why can't you say this guy is, let's call him evil, doing evil, whatever, and not me? And the idea is like this. There are two ways in which you can see another person. Just two ways. Way number one is, look at this guy, what he's doing. So bad, so evil, against the will of God. That's not me. I don't do that, and so on. It could be true that you don't do that. Maybe. Okay, let's suppose. Or another idea, and there's a verse, Al-kol peshaim techase ahava. All your sins, your self-love covers them. You never see your own faults. All your faults are covered by yourself. You cover yourself. To the point our sages say, without entering into the details because it's too long and it's not for today, but there are many, many laws of stains. Certain stains, tzaras, there was a very miraculous disease that appeared in the walls of the house, appeared in the garments, in the skin of a person, stains, white stains, whatever. And our sages say a very interesting phrase about these stains in Hebrew. You can look, you had to take the stain, whatever your skin or something where the stain was, to a kohen, to a priest. And the priest used to tell you, this is pure, this is impure, and so on. This is at length discussed in Parshas Tazria, Metzora, in the Torah, in the third book of the Torah. So the sages say, you can look at any stain except your own stains. Like you cannot look at yourself and say, I'm pure, I'm pure. Why? Because you're always going to find yourself pure. You're always going to find excuses. Why? Even if what you did was evil, was not wrong, was not right, was wrong, because whatever. I have an excuse. And interestingly, how do you say excuse in Aramaic? You know, the Talmud is written in Aramaic. So many, many Aramaic words like got into the language of everyday life, even in Eretz Israel today. How do you say excuse? Amasla. That's how you say it in Aramaic. It's in the Talmud in many places. And amasla actually is composed of two words. Emes, loy. True, not. Not true. It's just an excuse. Just putting excuses, whatever. So we say, again, either you're really not doing anything wrong and you see the other guy doing something wrong, which is really wrong, and I don't have that, or you covered your own evil because of your self-love, or you don't see it because of your self-love, and so on. That's one way of looking at a person. So when you function in this path, so to speak, in this way of looking at people, you clearly see wrong things on the others, and it bothers you. Usually it bothers you because the other guy is doing evil either to yourself, to himself, to yourself, to other people, and so on, and whatever, it bothers you. And it's a problem. Now the Baal Shem Tov says, if that's what you see on other people, let me tell you something. That's a reflection of yourself. You actually do have it. Don't come to me and say you don't have it. Don't come to me and say you're clean, quote unquote. You're dirty. And the other guy, it's a mirror of yourself. Why? Why is this process, so to speak, necessary? Again, because you don't see your own faults. You love yourself so much, you don't see your own faults. You cover on your own faults, either because you know them or because you don't know them. Doesn't really matter, but you cover on them. And therefore, God found, so to speak, a way to show you something about yourself. Seeing that in some other person, because on some other person, you do recognize them, the faults. On yourself, again, as we explained, you don't recognize the faults. On other people, of course, I recognize. I see A, B, C, D, and so on are faults. So since every single thing that God creates in this world is for a purpose, there's nothing just because, whatever, God was sleeping at that time and, oh, this came out. No, there's no such a thing. Everything has a purpose. People also have a purpose and we have purpose and so on. So then we say, I think the Baal Shem Tov says, that when you see this person and you see the evil in the person and you just recognize this is an evil thing and Baruch Hashem, I don't have it, thank God. I'm sorry. He's a mirror of you, of yourself. That's way number one, path number one of looking at a person. Another way of looking at a person is you do see the evil. You actually see the evil. Wow. Look at this guy. He's doing A, B, C, D, and so on. And it's really evil. But now that you saw that, you ask yourself, what can I do about it? How can I help over here? Sometimes what you can do is to go and tell the person. But sometimes it's kind of difficult for many reasons, either because you don't know the person or because this person doesn't like you or whatever. Can be so many different reasons why you can't actually go and tell the person. And therefore, you have to look for other ways. Tell a friend of this person, look, I saw your friend doing something, you know, not so good. Why don't you go tell him that's not good for him or whatever. You'll find the way. But when you're looking at a person and you're actually looking to find ways to help the person, oh, then it's not a proof that you have also this. You're not dirty with this. No. Why? Again, because you're looking in the words of the teachings, so to speak, not the Baal Shem Tov, the Rebbe has a whole relatively long teaching on this subject. In his words, when you're looking at halacha, the law on this situation, God presented me this situation. I'm here. I'm looking at this because, of course, so many people do so many things around the world, and I never look at this because, whatever, I live in Argentina. I don't see these things. I don't see everybody. God sees everybody. I don't see everybody. So there are so many people doing good things and bad things and so on around the world. It doesn't really have anything to do with me. That's why I don't see it. But if the situation comes and I do see it and I do know about it, that's a proof you have to do something about it. The question is, what are you going to do? Either you're going to say, "Ay, Baruch Hashem, I don't have this. Look at this animal. He does this and that. He behaves like this and like that." Or you're going to ask yourself, what can I do to help this person? What can I do to help this person? And that's when, again, we learn, even from the Baal Shem Tov, that's not a mirror of yourself. And going back to Noach, we're going to see this in the Parsha, in the story of Noach and his two children. They were walking backwards. And they were looking to the other side, not to his father's side. And still the Torah makes a point in saying, and they didn't see the nakedness of their father. Why? Why is the Torah adding these apparently superfluous words? Because the Torah wants to make a point that the truth is, maybe they didn't see, physically speaking, their father. But you know what? If you have to cover him, at some point in the story, you're going to have to turn your face and, okay, yeah, he was over there. No, he was like 2 meters over there. If you're walking backwards, you don't see, and you look at the other side, you don't see. So how do you cover him? At some point in the story, you're going to have to see. with your eyes. And what you're going to see, you're not going to like it. I'm sure you're not going to like it. But you know what? You're not looking to see the disgrace in the story. They were not looking to see the disgrace of their father. They were looking to ways of fixing, for fixing this, whatever was available for them, in this case, covered him. Okay, so that's what they were looking for. That's why the Torah says, and they did not see the nakedness of their father. They did see their father. The nakedness, the disgrace, and so on, of their father, that they didn't see. No, that they didn't see. But the father, this, of course, they saw. Otherwise, impossible to cover him. And that's what the Baal Shem Tov basically saying over here. If you look at a person and you see the evil just for the evil, that's a proof you have it. And if you look at a person and you see evil, but you ask yourself, what can I do to help over here, to change the situation in any case you could, then the evil you saw is not a proof of what you have. Rather, you saw something you have to fix. And God showed you this because you are the person, the one that can actually do something about it. Otherwise, you wouldn't see it.